Amen. Thank the Lord tonight. Isaiah chapter 57, if you have your Bibles with you tonight. It's good to be in the house of God. And Vernon and David asked about face to face. I think cross carriers sing that, I think. And you'd think as many cross carrier songs as we know around here, I would know that. I can remember that. Little bits and pieces of it, but I'm glad that someday we'll see him face to face.
Amen.
Someday we'll stand and see him for ourselves.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. Thank you, Micah. 57th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're going to read three verses tonight. This is the thought that we had. And I know we've been praying and talking about revival and praying for revival. And I know that tonight that we can do nothing on our own. We could try to schedule a series of meetings tonight. We could try to schedule them for next week. We could try to schedule them for 2 weeks from now. But unless God is in the mix, we're wasting our time tonight. So I understand that. And so I think we need to wait on the Lord, and we need to be praying awfully hard. And I don't believe that God will tarry in answering our prayers. I believe if our hearts get where we need to be, then God will surely hear us, and he'll send one our way. And I am looking forward to it tonight. But as we look at this 57th chapter of Isaiah and 13th verse, we'll start reading there. And the Bible says, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And you can be seated tonight as we look at this scripture. But we find here that Isaiah is, he is prophesying again to those that have separated themselves from God. And I'm going to get into the parts where, the latter parts, and then just in a minute. But when he starts the 13th verse, he starts off and he says, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee." What Isaiah was telling him here was what God was sending him was, when you cry out to all those idol gods that you have set up before me, you let them deliver you. What God was really doing and what he was saying here through Isaiah, and he said, "But the wind shall carry them all away." What God was telling him was, whatever you're doing without me, it'll come to nothing. Everything you do is vanity without me. The problem that Israel found themselves in, and the problem that Judah had found themselves in, and we touched on this Sunday night, and it's all throughout the old Bible, and is really a lesson unto us today, was that they had turned their back on God altogether. And when they had turned their back on God, God withdrew himself from them and withdrew his blessings from them. But I'm always reminded, and I'm always thankful, and I'm always encouraged by as far back as they got away from God, that the Bible says the Lord said, "My hand was still stretched out." In other words, I had never left you or forsook you all the way. But as soon as you were humble, as soon as you come to me in a contrite spirit, I was there for you. Listen, and here he was sending a word through Isaiah that he had come to them and said, "Go ahead and cry out unto all those other gods on the mountain that you have cried, because all those cryings and all those pleas, the wind itself will carry them away. But when you turn to me and when you look to me and you come to this holy place, I will be here for you." And then, and only then, can we begin to remove the stumbling blocks that have been in the way. Listen, the Lord said, "Because I am on the holy mountain, I am high and I am lifted up." But I'm glad that it's God's desire. Listen, and I know that he comes down in the valley. And I mentioned this the other night, and Stephen Perry preached this message not too long ago, that he is the lily of the valley. I'm talking about the lily, not a multitude. He is in every valley we ever walk through. It's the same lily. It's the same rose of Sharon tonight. And listen, that we can find whatever valley we find ourselves into. But I'm glad tonight that it's not God's will that we stay in the valley where we find him, but it's his will to bring us up and set us on the high mountains. And listen, he said, "For I am high and lifted up."
I dwell in the holy mountain Zion, of Jerusalem. I'm glad that God desires to put his people in a place where he is. Listen, that we can forever see him for who he is. Listen and notice tonight, he says, I am there to revive the brokenhearted of a humble spirit. Listen, the contrite of a heart that is contrite, I'm there to revive them. I looked up tonight what revival meant. What revival? The revival itself, if you take the word, the root word is to revive. And listen, that word revive can mean a number of things. But as we look at what it means from the church standpoint, listen, it means to awaken. It means to get back to a point where God wanted us to be. If you want to look at it this way, listen, it's a time for the church to come back to its passion and to its love and to its duty for the Lord. I know a lot of folks say, well, revival is about the lost. Hey, listen, revival can spill over into a spiritual awakening to our lost people. But the revival that I believe that the Lord is telling them about here in Isaiah, and the revival that is so desperately needed among many people today, is the complacency, as we preached last Wednesday night, the complacency that the church finds itself in a lot of times. Hey, listen, but God can begin to remove the stumbling blocks out of the way when the church begins to stir and realize that things need to be better and can be better than what they are. If you think for 1 minute that, hey, listen, that as good as it gets at Riverside is for half of the church to be full, then you are hindering the work of God. Listen, if you think that all it is for your friends and those that you are acquainted with and the members to be in the house of God when we come here, hey, listen, I say let's get revived and get back to the passion and the love and the work of the Lord. I don't know about you, hey, listen, but all of us ought to have the mindset that we have that burning desire in our heart to share what God has given us. Hey, listen, we ought to be out. The Bible in one scripture said, when the Lord Jesus come to him, he said, go out and plead with him in the highways and in the hedges, and you compel them to come in. Oh, listen, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody tonight, because I am guilty above everyone in the house. But there's a whole lot of times when I've quit compelling and I've just simply asked here or there and think that I have done my duty. But when we compel people, that's different than dropping an invitation now and then. Compelling someone is having an urgent desire to see them in the house of God, not only for their benefit. Listen, but it's our duty unto the Lord to see that his house is full, because God has more in store for those in the world than they could ever imagine. And it's only those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious that know how good God is. And listen, and if you have ever tasted how good God is, you have a desire in your heart to share how good God is with all of those that are still in the dark. For I never knew how good God was until I got born again. And when I got spiritually awoken, hey, listen, and that love of God, that burning desire of God, hey, listen, got all the rubbish out of my life. Hey, listen, there was nothing that hinders the people of God when they get a burning desire in their heart. And if you say, well, Victor, it's not that easy, go back and read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and see what was accomplished by the children of the Lord when they desired, or when they finally come to the point where they were revived enough to sweep all the rubbish out of the way and put their hands to the work. And before you know it, they were working with one hand and they were guarding with another hand. And the Bible says that the walls began to be joined together and they began to be built. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. Hey, listen, I'm reminded here in the Bible where when the church comes together with a passion and the church begins to remove the stumbling blocks. Where are the stumbling blocks? What are the stumbling blocks? Well, Apostle Paul wrote to the church that it was in Galatia in the 5th chapter. He told them over there, I believe it was, that, hey, listen, those folks had started off running the race. But listen, Paul come into that city and he preached. and souls were saved. And that Paul tarried with him for a while, but then he left. And he got word later that some Jews had come in and false doctrine had come in. And they began to tell people they had to be circumcised. And they begin to bring in all the other doctrines that, hey, listen, that were not of God, that were not of the gospel, that were not of grace plan. And Paul wrote to him and he said, "Oh, brothers," he said, "and sisters, who have hindered you to run?" He said, "You did run well, but something has happened along the way. You have allowed the stumbling blocks to creep in. If we're not too careful, we can allow things to come in. And before you know it, we'll get a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of pride and a little bit of false doctrine and a little bit of opinion here and a little bit of opinion there. And before you know it, we've got so much opinion around that the Word of God don't penetrate the places where it needs to penetrate. Oh, but Paul said, you ran well. Oh, listen, but he said, you need to get this stuff out of the way. You say, Victor, that don't happen with us. You better watch real close. If it happened back then, it can happen now. I'm reminded in the Bible when God took Ezekiel down into that valley of dry bones. And he said, "Ezekiel, what do you see here?" He said, "Oh, God, I see a valley full of bones. And they are dry. They are very, very dry." Listen, but it was never God's intention for Israel to dry up, but it just happened along the way. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." But I'm glad today that it's not the hearer of the word, it's a doer of the word. And you might say, "Well, that don't mean anything to me and you." But if you take a close look, what Jesus was telling there was to the seven churches that were in Asia. So those were the churches that were under the grace plan. It is the grace plan. But back to Ezekiel, when God said, "Can these live again?" Ezekiel said, "Oh, God, thou knowest." You realize when those bones begin to get stirred and when they begin to shake, it was when the Word of God began to be breathed. Hey, listen, down in that valley, sometimes we need to get to the point where we raise our hands and say, "God, just breathe on us a little bit and begin to shake us up and stir us up and revive us." Oh, God, that we could be back to where you'd have us to be, that we would have that zeal, that passion, that love, that urgency. Oh, listen, if we get to that point, there's nothing that the adversary can do. The only reason the devil's in any church is because the church has lost its zeal to run him out. I mean, if you look at it like that. Hey, listen, and you might say, "Well, the Bible says that Satan has his place. The Bible only said that in the book of Revelation because the church had allowed him to come in and sit down. I mean, you think about that. Hey, listen, I know the adversary is everywhere, and I know that it's his desire to hinder the work of God. But when the stumbling blocks and when the rubbish is all swept out of the way, and God has revived us to the point where he has lit us back up, lit us on fire to where we are looking and we are clear about what the purpose of the church is. And when we get back, as God was telling them here in the book of Isaiah, when we get out of the valley and we get set back up on that high and holy mountain, hey, listen, the devil don't have a place on the high mountain of God. And he don't have a place in the church. He don't have a place in our life. I mean, if we've been covered by the blood and our sins been forgiven, Satan don't have a place. The only time he troubles people is when they've allowed him to have a place. We all heard the adage, give an inch, you'll take a mile. Jesus told him in one place, he said, "Little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump." In other words, you let a little bit in, and before you know it, the whole lump's just turned. So what's happened? People separate themselves away from God. How do you do this? Well, simply stay home. You stay home for a while, you won't feel as close as you used to feel. You quit reading the Bible for a while, you won't feel as close as you used to feel. You stop praying, you won't feel as close as you used to feel. You stop fellowship, you won't feel as close as you used to feel. And before too long, you'll think you're all alone. Hey, listen, and you'll be walking through a dark place, and you'll be in a valley somewhere. But I'm glad there's a lily in that valley. I'm glad there's help in that valley. I'm glad that God said, "If you look to me, hey, listen, let's remove the stumbling blocks and get them out of the way." And he said, "I'll hear those that are a broken heart. I'll hear those that that humble themselves. I'll be there for them and it won't be long. And God will set them back up on a mountain. Don't ever think the church don't need revived. Hey, listen, we're human. We're not... We've got the Spirit abiding in us. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But when we give he that is in the world too much power, he can override that one that's inside of us. Before too long, we'll find that we need revived. And I don't know why it's been so long. People can say, well, Victor, we haven't had revival in over a year. Hey, sometimes, I mean, I don't know what to say. Sometimes things happen, things get away, we lose track of time. But when God's blessing along the way, that's just... I mean, he's just blessed along the way. If we're where we need to be, we'd never have to call for a revival, would we? If we was always on fire, we would always be in that spirit of revival. We would always feel that close. We would always feel that good. But we know that it happens. We know that we get complacent. We know that we get in the time. Sometimes we follow form. We follow an agenda. I won't say we follow an agenda, not necessarily, but we follow a... somewhat of a pattern, how we do stuff. I mean, I've seen it over the years. I've fallen into it. We all fall into it. You know, you come into church. What would happen if I came in here and I said, we're not going to sing. Brother James not going to sing. We're going to sit down. I'm going to preach. And then we're going to do this. We'll do that. And we'll just turn everything upside down. Some people would be offended. Some people would be offended. I hope you're not one of those that would be offended, but some people would be offended, and I've heard that over the years. Well, that's just not the way we do it. Well, maybe we ought to worry about the way God wants it done and not what we want to do. When we start allowing God to direct the services, it don't always have to follow a pattern. But listen, I have found in the Bible that God has done things on one day and changed things up another day. It's not that God has changed, but God gets the attention of individuals. Hey, listen, and God does things in a way, I believe in a lot of times, so that we don't get complacent. Because when we start doing things that over and over repetition, we are creatures of habit. And we all are. And I'm not knocking that we're creatures of habit. That's what we are. But let's understand what we are. And let's recognize it for what it is. And let's never get into such a that habitual state that we are planning things and leaving God out. Because that's the danger. That's the danger. So if the church needs revival. Hey, listen, I want revival. I'm praying for revival. That passion returned. So reviving. Just that getting back to. Now some people say, well, the revival is for the lost. And I believe that. I believe the revival can be for everybody. It is for everybody. And I've heard people say, well, the revivals we had wasn't successful. Nobody got saved. Well, you approached it for the wrong mindset. Maybe, hey, listen, I believe that if the church gets on fire, if you think back to the day you got saved, and I think back to the day I got saved, and we just pop the question one to another and get you thinking about something. Were you saved when the church was dead and cold? Or were you saved when the church was on fire? Because when you were dead, if the church was dead and cold, God couldn't move through the church. And I've heard people say, well, it takes the church. Hey, listen, the church needs to be in a right mindset. The church is the mother, right? And the church has to be ready. Hey, the church has to be in a position. The church has to be on fire. The church has to be ready for God to come down through the heart of the church. It's the church that's ready to receive the message from God. It's the church that's praying for the preacher. It's the church that's lifting up the singers. It's the church that's desiring of the Spirit of God to come down and move through the heart of the church. It's the church that God, hey, listen, moves through today. After all, God said, this, you're the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And so the church has to be in the right frame of mind. And when the church is in the right frame of mind, then the power of God comes moving through the church. Moves through the singers, moves through the prayer warriors, moves through the congregations, moves through the message, moves through the messenger, and everything has its place. And then there's that lost soul sitting there watching everything go on. Can you save them? Nope. Can I save them? Nope. Can a singer save them? Nope. But the power of God that moves through the church can rest upon them and begin knocking at their heart and dealing with Him. Hey, listen, how If we think about it just for a moment like this, when the church is so stirred up and such so on fire that the power of God is like it was on the day of Pentecost, when those men gathered in that upper room and everybody was there and they were praying together and they were on fire and they were desiring the power of God to come down in a mighty way. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew that God was in control. We don't know what's going to happen. But when we come to the house of God, we ought to just know that God is in control and just let Him be in control. Let God be God. And then we'll feel the power come down through and it'll rest upon the hearts of our lost people. And I believe with all my heart, I believe when God begins to stir and shake a heart, I don't believe that someone can sit there and just walk out unchanged. Even if they don't get on an altar, they'll leave here shaken. They'll leave here emotionally shaken and stirred. And they'll go home with it. And I pray that if it's so powerful that the Spirit will go home with them. And deal with them. And knock at their heart and continue to deal with them through the night and through the day. And through the night and through the day. Hey, listen, they can be separated from me and you, but they cannot be separated from the Spirit of God. And then the Lord will work on them and awaken them. And they can come back into the house of God. Get born again. Talk about the joy. And they can have that zeal. The Bible said this. He said that Jesus Christ, He has redeemed us. In one scripture, I believe it was. I'm gonna try to quote this right. But I know He says we are a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He has redeemed unto Himself. We are sealed. Right? I mean sealed to the day of redemption. That's not lost again. That's sealed to the day of redemption. And Jesus Christ, through His blood, has purified, reconciled, and sealed His children. But we do need revived. All of us need revived. Not just this church, everywhere. All churches, every individual at times in their lives need revived. And I've got good news. God's always ready to revive His children. God's always ready to move down and shake us and stir us and help us. All we got to do is just be the same mindset they were here when the Lord spoke to Isaiah. He said, those that have a humble spirit, those whose heart is contrite, those that are ready, those that have finally, we just lay it all down. That's what He said, get all the stumbling blocks out of the way. No more excuses, no more reasons, no more things that can hinder us along the way. But when we lay all them down and say, God, I'm determined my whole heart to serve You, go whatever You want to do, be in the church as long as it takes. God, I'm not looking at the clock. I don't care what time it is when we leave. I don't care what time it is when we get here. God, just let Your Spirit have free movement in the house. Amen. We get like that, then we'll see all these things come to pass. And the glory of God will shine out. And it will not only see it ourselves, those that are lost come in and see it. Nothing is more precious, I believe. And I'll say this as your pastor, and it was like this when I pastored over to Olive Branch. It's like this here. Nothing is more precious in a church than to see people come in, visitors, people, strangers, people that are lost, people come to the doors. And they might leave here as lost as they can be, or they might leave here, they might just be busy, might be saved, but they'll leave here and have them say, I felt the love and I felt so welcomed and I felt so warm and I felt the love in the church. Everyone made me feel welcome. That's a blessing. You don't feel that everywhere. Not every church you go into has that. Some churches you go into and you think you're a stranger. And it's sad, but it's true. So I'm proud to be in this church. I'm proud of Riverside for the love that you show. I'm proud for the welcome. And I'm proud for the freedom that you give the Spirit of God. And I've said it before, and I've not said it in a while. I tried for a long time to remind people. And sometimes we just stop saying things at times, but we need to be reminded. Whatever we do, we just need to follow the Spirit. Everything we do needs to be led by the Spirit of God. And if we do that, then everything else will work itself out.
I mean, everything else will work out. There's nothing worse than coming to church and not feeling the presence of God. There's nothing worse than being in church and not feeling the Spirit of God. Because knowing that God's desire always is to be with His children. You realize that? I mean, that's His desire, is to be with His children. So if we get in the right mindset, God will send a powerful revival through the church. We will see the church revived. We will see, hey, listen, our people stirred back up, renewed. And we will see, I believe with all my heart, we will see our lost people saved. And if we don't get discouraged in well-doing. God will just plant the seeds, friend. It might be months, it might be years. Who knows what effect one service will have.
Amen.
So don't let the adversary come in and start spreading lies and planting seeds of doubt in your heart, in your life. Just trust God.
Yeah.
Just trust God. That's the message. I love you tonight. We need to be praying continually. The words of James, come and get a song tonight. I appreciate it. And I know Brother Dylan, Brother Stephen, Brother Jim, any of these preachers could have preached tonight. That was on our heart. Felt like we needed to give that to you. And we do need to keep praying. And just love everybody. Just love everybody. Just love everybody. I'm so guilty of that sometimes. If we would just love more than we judge, we'd be far better off.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes we're quick to judge. Hey, I'm...
About 44.
James said we got the power.
Oh, we got the power.
Yeah, to sing that one. So we come in one with another, and
what key?
He said he just wanted everybody to get together and hold hands.
Oh, okay.
Join hands tonight. We've got the power. That song says, "In the name of Jesus."
Right.
Probably hit a G or something. I don't know.